Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to geek out about Buffy. Oh, and we are going to geek out about Angel.
Uh-oh, gotta get used to that a little.
Yeah. Today's episode is season one, episode four, I Fall to Pieces.
Yuck.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. It's a great title for the episode.
Oh, because, yeah.
Like, it works for, like, the emotion of it, but also the literal gross physicality of it. And this was also one of those ones where I made the art, and I didn't feel, like, I feel it's a good piece, but it's also, like, it's a stalker.
Yeah.
Peeking through a window at a girl getting dressed, and I was just like, I feel weird drawing
this. Like, this doesn't feel good to do.
This doesn't work. Can we be done with this? All right, so for anybody listening along and not following along, this is the episode where Angel or Doyle gets a vision of a woman in danger, and it turns out that she has a stalker. It was a doctor that she saw, and it's revealed that he can basically remove parts of his body in order to enhance his stalking, which is gross.
Super gross.
But we open the episode with Cordelia wants Angel to charge money.
Yeah.
This is a business and we need to start running it like one. We should be charging.
I know Angel's been working day and night to help people fight their personal demons, but I need a raise.
Which is a running theme throughout the series, at least as long as Cordelia's in the series.
Well, I think it gets to a certain point where like,
they do charge.
We don't have to talk about it anymore. But also, like, you're renting office space.
Yeah, like,
what are you trying to do? Are you not trying to run a business?
It also raises the question of, like, how did you get this office space?
Yeah.
Because you don't have ID, so unless you have hordes of cash that you just bribe someone with. But no, it's good because it happens in a couple scenes. Doyle actually has a really great reasoning to Angel, which also plays into the theme of the episode, where he's just like, if you make it just a job, then you can disconnect and they don't feel like they owe you something, which is where Melissa lives. She felt like she owed the doctor a date, and it kind of spun this whole stalking thing out
absolutely
of control. Not to say I don't want that to sound like I'm victim blaming.
No.
It wasn't her fault that he's stalking. It's just she kind of accidentally did, as she explains later, like,
he operated and saved my sight. Afterwards, he asked me out. I didn't really want to, but
he helped you. You felt obligated.
Exactly. I don't think that's victim blaming. If anything, it's more perpetrator blaming than we were already doing. But it's like, that's, I think, how so many women get into situations like this, because we are trained from a very young age to just be nice and just be polite and, like, don't ruffle feathers and stuff. And so it's like you end up going on a date with this total psycho.
Yeah.
And you don't realize until it's too late and he's stalking you. And then you're like, why did I go on that date? And it's like he probably would have stalked her even if she hadn't.
Right.
But, like, she did end up opening the door wider for him to, like, get even more attached and stuff. It's so gross.
It's gross. This whole episode feels off.
It's like, I keep saying it. I think I said it last week. I love these episodes of Angel, and I love early Angel, but, like, I really don't think it gets cooking for, like, four more episodes.
Yeah, this is, like, they're just kind of, like, doing, like you said, they're doing the Monster of the Week, and they're just, you're getting your footing, essentially, and then once that shift happens after Hero, you're like, okay, from here on out, we're gonna, like, kind of go
100%.
Also, I wanted to point out something in this scene with Doyle, because Doyle's like describing Angel, and Cordelia's like, are you sure you're not attracted to him?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the scene, they do like the slow-mo, he like puts his coat on, it is super badass, he looks like a superhero walking off, and Doyle admits, he goes, maybe I am a little attracted to him. And well, yeah, 100%. But to me, that's also like that's the divider between him and Xander, because he obviously does say inappropriate things that you shouldn't say to, like calling her my princess and our little princess and things like that. But it's those are definitely parts of the time. Again, not excusing it, but it's just like compared to Xander, Xander is very like homophobic in that regard. In that, are you sure you're not attracted to him? He's like, no, what are you talking about? I'm definitely like the between the two of them, Doyle. I think that's why I vibe with Doyle so much more, because he doesn't act like he's owed Cordelia as a girlfriend. He doesn't shush off. Like he's comfortable with his masculinity, essentially.
Well, also Doyle is European.
Yes, so he's got that worldview. Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
So that's why I like Doyle, among other reasons. And so then we go to the office hijinks of Melissa making the cake.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you a question, because I didn't actually look this up, and it's Penny. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what name is she trying to spell out?
Yeah, they say Penny at the beginning of the, at the scene. They say Penny, and then it says Benji.
Yeah, all right. That's fine.
I said Penny. I was very clear on the phone. I spelled it with letters.
But that was what I did laugh at.
You've only been here a month, and already you know 4 of the letters of my name.
Yeah.
I also, like, super side note, I really dig how authentic this office scene feels.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like you're stepping into an actual environment,
mm-hmm.
which can in these types of shows feel like not that.
Yeah, 100%.
You could be just like, oh, you know, just like say some random stuff, but we're gonna get to the crime, so we don't really care about your world. But like, it seems like it's they genuinely try to sub this environment, which is cool.
I mean, it doesn't end up like amounting to anything, but it is one of those nice little ticks where it's like, oh, well, that feels like you put a little bit of thought into it.
Yeah, this wasn't just like, oh, she's in an office just to get us to our point.
Yeah, because there's really no reason for Penny or the other coworker to even exist. Like, that's not necessary even remotely. Like, we could just see her in this office. It's not really important.
Well, and in comparison to my complaint in Fear Itself, when Oz, they have a whole natural conversation, and then it ends with Oz going, oh, and then, like, a close-up on the knife and, like, making a whole deal about it. This flowed with the conversation. Like, it wasn't, they had a whole conversation, and then it was like, Melissa, there's flowers for you. And then a close-up of the flowers and like, okay, and now here's the story. It was all part of the, oh, you got flowers. Actually, that's not for me. I don't, like, it all was natural.
Yeah.
This is more what I would be looking for in that. This is kind of like what I was describing from that Oz scene.
Yeah, I like, Will and I talk about this kind of a lot in shows that are not well-written, like shows and movies and stuff. And we always use the same example where it's like, if the characters are having a conversation with each other that where they both know all of the information that's being stated, where it's like, hello, brother, I've been your brother for 20 years since I was born. And it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? It's like, that's a show don't tell moment. And it's like, so this is a show moment, whereas the Fear Itself moment is a tell moment. And one of them is definitely superior, given especially how much time we've already spent talking about this scene in this episode that ends up amounting to nothing. The only thing it does is Melissa gets these flowers and they're from the doctor, and she gets freaked out. And then Angel kind of accosts her in the underground parking.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
Oh, I thought you were someone else.
You all right?
Yes.
My name's Angel. I'm in private security.
Excuse me?
It's what I do. My job.
You walk around an underground garage just telling people this because
I think you may be in need of my services.
That was my next thing. I just wrote, Angel tries to help in a garage and is not good at it.
No, not good at all.
Because they even told her, they were like, well, you're just like, you're in all black, just approaching this woman in a garage. Of course she's gonna be like, no thank you.
I do love that he takes the note, though, because in the next scene he's wearing a white sweater.
It actually, this whole episode is Angel taking notes, because also Kate, he was just like, and then we'll get him locked up, and she's like,
this guy could go to jail tomorrow, Angel, and still kill her in her dreams every night. And I've put a few of these creeps away, and the hardest thing is knowing that he's still winning. She's still afraid. He took this girl's power away, and nobody can get it back for her but her.
Yeah.
And he takes that note, and he uses that to, like, inspire her and stand up to him at the end, which we'll talk about. But this whole episode is, like, Angel, like, which is, you know, and it's a give and take throughout the series, and obviously that's part of the give and take of who Angel is. Like, sometimes he does take the note. He is learning as a fish out of water,
yeah,
how to interact with other people. And sometimes he doesn't want to, and sometimes that's really bad. Sometimes he goes down a really dark path. Yeah. But it's interesting to watch him, like, learn from people. So I already said this. Doyle's got a good point about the money. It's a key difference between Buffy and Angel. And while I do think Buffy should be paid by the Watchers Council,
yes,
I think all Slayers should be paid by the Watchers Council. In comparison to Anya bringing up, which we'll get to, it's not necessarily a spoiler, but eventually Anya's going to be like, well, why don't you charge for slaying? But what Buffy and Angel are doing is different.
Yeah.
So it's like, I agree Buffy should be paid, but I understand it's more complex for Buffy to charge for slaying because it's her life's purpose to, like, protect people from demons.
Right.
Whereas Angel is actively going out and seeking, yeah, people to help.
Because that's the other thing, too, is, like, people aren't coming to Buffy for help.
Right.
She is going out there night after night and doing it. You can't give someone a service and then say, also, right, you owe me money.
Yeah, someone's getting, yeah, chased by a vampire. She stakes them and then she goes, that'll be $10, please.
Exactly.
Like, that's just, that would be insane. Whereas Angel's like a whole investigation.
Yeah, and it's like 100% though, the council should be paying her. And especially a, like, mid-season 5 episode where money changes hands from the council to someone else, and she doesn't even get a piece of that.
Yes.
It's so annoying.
It's very annoying. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that. But yes, so those are my two, like, differences between Buffy and Angel.
Yeah.
And, like, I get where Anya's coming from, and Anya and Cordelia are cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
So they're both serving the same purpose. They just, Angel and Buffy have different approaches to what they're doing.
100%.
And not, you know, and not in a, like, one is wrong, one is right. It's just, like, they're both coming at fighting evil in different ways.
Yeah.
Also, yikes at Cordelia's insult to Doyle.
My God.
You're a lot smarter than you look. Of course, you look like a retard.
Not only is it, like, obviously so...
Yeah.
Not so, like, you shouldn't say that 100%. At all. Like, that, and that's, it's been, I think someone said it on Buffy, too. Like,
yeah,
that word's just kind of thrown around a bunch throughout, or a handful of times throughout both these series. But then, like, the PC side of it aside, it is so mean.
So mean!
Like, it could have just been, like, a sweet jab, like,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, you don't look like much or whatever, but,
yeah,
like...
It's like, okay... The 1999 of it all, like, I can't claim to have never said that word colloquially as we used it in 1999. Of course I did. We all,
yeah,
did. But, like, there was, like, a moment where everyone just stopped
doing
it. And so it's, like, going back and watching these shows and, like, and hearing that. And it's, like, out of Charisma Carpenter's mouth, who, I like,
yeah,
she's not like that. You know?
No.
I'm just like...
Yeah, it's so...
Ah!
Yeah, but, like, to your point, it is, unfortunately, it is a thing that was said a lot in,
yeah,
the 90s. And at a certain year, it was just like, no, stop saying that. And
yeah,
mostly, globally, everybody's like, all right, we'll stop saying that.
Do you know who didn't, though? A lot of Gen X people. I've worked with,
yeah,
a ton of Gen X dudes that still say it.
That's not surprising.
No, it's really terrible.
But yeah, it is just, like, so jarring to watch it happen.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, you have to, like, rewire your brain, like, right, this was, like, 2001.
No, it was 1999 still.
Was this 99?
This is still 1999.
Oh, yeah, because...
October.
Yeah, season 2 was 98, that's,
yeah,
right. Yeah.
So, I was watching this, and I was, like, vaguely paying attention, because I also watched this episode a couple weeks ago, and I heard her say it, and I just went, oh, God!
Yeah.
Out loud. Like, Rachel and my husband heard me, and they were like, what? And I was like, Cordelia just said the thing. She said the quiet part out loud.
And it's just, like, I still can't get over it. It is, like, the meanest jab
at
Doyle.
Mean. Yeah.
For no reason. But, you know, she gets past that.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer that we didn't get to see that relationship flourish, because I feel like that would have been so great.
I agree.
I love the relationship she has and that she does flourish with.
Sure.
By the end of her storyline, I love that, and I'm glad we have that. I just, like, you know, obviously Doyle left too soon.
Yeah.
And then the creeper changed her PIN number. He, like, approaches her. The doctor approaches her at the ATM.
Oof.
It won't work. I changed your PIN number. I mean, Melissa, your birthday? That's the first thing a thief would try.
He's so gross. I don't even know. It's like, not till later, but he has this line where he's like,
"You just took advantage of my kindness. Let me on until you can find yourself a vacuous LA pretty boy."
First of all, we all know that Angel's not vacuous. Like, that's not the first word I would choose to describe him. But also, it's like, he's so delusional because he's made this whole thing up. She's like, "We went for coffee or drinks or whatever one time." He changes her PIN to the day they met. And she's like, "Ew, why?" And he's like,
"Yeah, what?
I just want to be happy with you." And it's like, oh my God. And he's like controlling the amount of pills she takes. He's like, he like asks about how many vitamins she's taken that day. It's like, ew, it's really, really, really gross.
It's very gross. He's awful. And then Melissa talks to Angel Investigations.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we have the conversation where she's like, "I don't know why I agreed to it." And Cordelia's like, "Well,
yeah,
you felt obligated to,"
yep.
Which also she doesn't quite, I kind of like expect her to nod to Angel, because prior to that was when Doyle said, like, "You want them to pay you so that there's no feeling of obligation."
Right.
I feel like Cordelia should have been like, you catching this, Angel?
Well, yeah, I mean, we already really touched on it, but it's like, that's so true. If you pay someone for a service, then you're done.
Right.
Like, someone does a service for you and you pay them for that service, then you are done. But if, like, just a mysterious hot man that approached you in the parking garage does you a solid, you're like, who was that mysterious hot man from the parking garage?
Much like the woman in the first episode, she was like, he was taking her under his wing, and she's like, "Well, you can do what you want." And he's like, "I just want you to be safe." And then she started to cry, because that is the world that she's like come into out there, was like, "Oh, this is what you have to do."
Yeah.
And then we reveal how he's seeing the thing she's doing.
Yeah.
Which is also gross.
She's
like undressing and his eyeball is floating behind her.
He's like, he can take himself apart because he is like, neurologist or something, and mm-hmm. he can take himself apart for certain amounts of time and nothing happens, but it's like he has to put the pieces back on himself or they'll atrophy,
or he'll fall apart, which we get to see. And then Angel visits Kate. She's very clearly into Angel.
Hi, it's good to see you.
You too.
So, judging by your uncomfortableness, I would say you're either about to ask me out on a date or you need a favor. And I'm gonna go with favor. So ask and I'll see if I can do.
Yeah! I don't love it.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I just don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary considering where this goes. I feel like they use it as an element to make her not like him, and when that inevitably happens.
Sure.
I feel like they use that as a subconscious, like, oh, you know, well, he didn't accept her, like, coming on to him, so like she's just kind of like bitter about it. I feel like they're subconsciously putting that in your head.
I like that less.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't like the inclusion of it because it feels like that's where they're going. Would have liked it if it was if they were like, well, let's see where this goes. Like a woman, like not to say she's like Buffy, but like she's
a pretty blonde woman.
She's a pretty blonde woman. She's more mature. It is something where I'm just like, I feel like I would be into this had they like treated it with more care, but it sure. seems to just be a tool to like make her not like him because he doesn't give in to her advances.
Yeah.
She's not subtle.
No, she's not subtle. Not really.
Like, Angel knows.
We do get one good thing in this scene, though, which is that she brings up Wolfram and Hart.
Yes.
What?
His lawyers. Wolfram and Hart, you know the name?
I've heard it.
And she says the law firm, she calls them the law firm that Johnny Cochran is too ethical to join, which I thought was very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah. And because that's the doctor's law firm.
Yeah, the doctor's law firm, which basically also shows how evil they are, that they put a restraining order on her. And we've already seen that he's clearly the stalker.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, they're so terrible.
I also, she says she's going to put a uniformed officer on Melissa's apartment, which she does. But this uniformed officer is terrible.
Nice and easy. Put your hands up.
I was just out for a walk.
Hands now. I'm sorry. We got a report of someone. Not you.
Like,
oh, you don't have any hands? Oh, my bad.
He's so bad at his job. Like, Melissa starts, he accosts the doctor outside, and then the doctor lifts up his no-handed arms, and he's like, oh, okay. And then Melissa starts screaming because the hands are in her bedroom, touching all over her, disgusting. And he gets into her apartment, and then he is just doing that fucking cop thing where he's like,
lady, I can't help you. You don't tell me what's wrong. Now, did someone break in? Are you just having a bad dream?
In there.
And it's like,
calm down, little lady.
It's so bad. So
bad. Well, and it's also just like, I mean, I get the subtext of like, oh, he doesn't have hands, so he's not jerking off, essentially.
Sure.
But I'm like, he is still standing outside of
looking in her window.
Looking in the window. Like, that should be enough to just be like, well, what are you doing? Not, oh, well, you have a disability, so clearly you're innocent.
And you're up,
like,
to no, you're not up to no good.
Yeah, I'm like, well, still question him. This is weird behavior.
What are we doing?
Especially knowing that, like, and you should have a description of, I think Angel told her who it was, didn't he?
Yes, yeah.
So, like, they have a description of the guy.
That cop is bad.
I know, I'm just saying.
Uniformed,
like,
officer
I'm
is
adding
bad.
To why he's bad, like... He's just, I'm like, you know what he looks like. He's doing something shady. You're supposed to be watching this building, and then you're just like, ah, never mind. You go upstairs and get strangled.
Horrible.
But before all that, Doyle reassures Melissa.
I guess Angel's handled a lot of cases like this.
Oh, dozens, hundreds, dozens of hundreds.
It happens that often?
Well, exactly like yours. Not quite so many, but protecting young women such as yourself. Oh, yeah, there's been, four, and three of them are very much alive.
Yeah.
Angel visits the doctor, and...
He's pretty good at improv when he wants to be.
He was. I was like, oh. And, like, even he, like, was looking at something, and he, like, put it in his pocket, and I was like, oh, no, why is your hand in your pocket? And he pulls out a card, and I was like, oh, look at you. You're smooth, Angel.
Yeah.
That's good. And then Cordy interviews a doctor who, was initially, like, speaking of high praise of him.
Yeah.
And then Cordy's like, cut the bullshit.
So he's good at the cutting and the sewing. He ever strike you as a big dangerous creep?
What? What kind of article are you writing?
And she, like, opened up to Cordy, which is also like, go Cordy. Like,
I love it.
Yeah, she's great. She gets the scoop. Angel knows. Okay, so Angel knows in explicit detail how this guy thinks.
This guy has a lot to lose. What is it about Melissa that's got him going all OJ here?
Nothing. It's not about Melissa. It's about rage. This guy's too messed up to deal with a real woman, and he can't stand that. So he creates a fantasy about a girl he barely knows. But eventually even she fails him. And he has to hurt her, because when he looks at her, all he sees is how useless he is, how damaged. Ugh,
what a fun date you must have been back in your bad vent days. On the other hand, should give you some insight into the jerks of the world.
I know how this guy thinks, I just don't know how he's doing it.
There's a reason you know how this guy thinks.
Who else do we know who has in the past been a stalker?
Yeah. I was the embodiment of that emoji of the two eyes looking to the side when he said that.
No, he is going off where he's like, it's all about rage and control. Yeah. And I'm like,
oh boy, you're saying the quiet part out loud.
How do you know that, my dude? I have questions.
So many questions.
Yeah.
I also like the button where Cordelia's like, did you steal this book? And then she's like kind of proud of him.
Yeah.
That's great. And then Angel visits the dude who taught the doc. I felt like that scene wasn't even really necessary.
No, I have already forgotten
everything
that happened.
I like completely shut it out too. I was just like, this doesn't come to fruition anywhere.
No.
This is just like more details. We already figured it out. Yeah. I don't need you to explain the metaphysics of how it works. Like,
for sure.
We've been in this demon world. We don't give a shit.
Definitely.
Dude is creeping on Melissa. This is where we were. The cops pull up. Hands in the bed, which is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Angel arrives, saves the day, and then takes Melissa back to his place. So this is where he like took the note, like she needs to be empowered.
I'm tired of crying and being afraid.
You don't have to be afraid.
You're just duct taping me in for fun.
You survived a living hell these last few months, and you're still standing while he's coming unhinged at not being able to control you. He's the weak one, you're the strong one.
Yeah.
And not necessarily that he was the tool to empower her, but he was just kind of like echoing what Kate told him to her to try to help her along, like that realization.
Definitely.
Which is great.
It's also one of those fun moments where the person who's like having the issues of the week is like, oh, you're gonna think I'm crazy. And they're just like, probably not.
Yeah.
Just like, just try me. Just like, see.
Because
it happens on Buffy sometimes, too. It happens on Buffy and it happens on Angel. And I always think those moments are fun, even if they're like pretty ham-fisted. And like we talked about when Oz finds out about monsters and stuff. And like, actually, it explains a lot.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite reactions there.
I just love it whenever someone new finds out because it's always... it's always a little different, and it's just always fun when they have to be like, no, just tell me. I promise it won't be weird. Like,
yeah.
I'll know what you're talking
weird
about.
Shit. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then the doctor calls Angel to get him to come. I think we talked about it in episode one, honestly. I love when people don't know that Angel's a vampire or underestimate his strength.
Mm-hmm.
So like I love when he gets shot by trank darts from people, because you see the confidence in the villain, like, I fucking got you.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't wait till he pops up and you shit your pants. Like, it's such a fun, and it happens all the time. It's such a fun mechanic of the show.
Cause he doesn't like have a blood flow.
Yeah.
Which begs the question though, cause Angel like really reacts to the injection.
It actually affects him.
Yeah.
The weird part.
I don't know, but it is funny.
I guess maybe because he has blood, but it just doesn't flow. So maybe like it impacted him for like 30 seconds and then it just flushed itself out of his body.
Sure.
Which is, because they made a point to show his vision, which was blurry. So it was he's definitely affected by this. And then Cordy and Doyle making the place safe.
They're just like taping up all the air vents and stuff, which like can't be helpful to the atmosphere or aroma in that basement.
It must be hot as fuck and gross smelling. Then the doc attacks. And then Angel basically separates his body parts and he kind of decomposes. But there is the great moment where Melissa stands up to him, like he's holding a knife against her.
I think you disappoint yourself. I think you gave up on being loved a long time ago, and now you're just another creep who gets off on pain.
Oh, don't try any assumption.
I think you know I'd be crazy to want to touch you, to wake up next to little pieces of whatever you are.
Shut up.
You turned yourself into a freak, Ronald. A vile, repulsive freak, and I am done being afraid of you. You can cut me, and you can kill me. It still won't change what you are.
And then at the end...
There's...
What?
There's a bill.
Bill who?
The bill for my services.
Oh, of course. That's the other reason I came.
That's so cool, too, because I love that... it kind of teases the idea that customers might be put off. But then when reminded, she's like, oh, yeah, of course.
Of course.
And like it puts you at ease as the audience of like, oh, people, you know, I would expect to pay someone to like protect me or help me or something.
Yeah.
Like
100%.
And so it like, and like you said, it starts to go into the background. And there's moments where like they get a lot of money for things. And you're like, oh, they're covered for a while.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do the nitty gritty like billing people because that's not interesting.
Yeah. Well, I love too that like Angel is like still.
I mean, I didn't do it for the money.
Oh, please. You earned it.
Yeah.
So it's like he needs to be having these conversations too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's all good. It's a good episode. It's just so, like, gross.
And then, no, it's super gross. But I do love the very end where Cordelia's like,
we need more of these.
We'll have more soon enough.
Well, we need them now. Have a vision.
I just can't perform on demand.
We need the clients. Have a vision.
And she's just, like, trying to force him into having a vision. And he's like, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. She's like, what if I hit you on the head?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
See, I love them so much. Their banter is just, like,
it's so very cute.
It's so cute. I love it. But, yeah, that's this episode. Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Trevor Carley.
And I am with my other show, at So I'm Watching, or my personal account, at FiddleDD85.
And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe, and we will see you next week.
Bye.